Let us pray. O Lord, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I'm a retired person. Now, I'm sure that those of you who are still working will think, well, that's a nice life to have. You sit back, watch television and do nothing else. It's not like that at all. And I wouldn't like you to think that I'm the sort of person who sits back all day and watches television. I'm not. But one thing has struck me over the years, going back quite several years now, is that one of the things that seems to be increasing on television, certainly during the daytime, are the number of adverts for ways to gain money. We've already heard the Archbishop of Canterbury's opinion of Wonga.com, and there are others. Can't even think of them at the moment, but people try and make you pick up a phone and ask for some money. What they don't tell you are the hidden costs, the length of time that you will have a debt hanging over you. And I believe one of the problems of ourselves as Christians is that sometimes we expect our faith to be a sort of Wonga loan. We expect everything to come very easily indeed. And this sometimes is very difficult, especially for people who are new to the faith. They have a rosy picture painted for them. And they find it difficult. Things don't go quite as they expected. Now I know that if you have been a Christian for a long time, you will know that that is not the case. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes, perhaps, we are over guilty of painting a rosy picture. And we need to remember some of the things that Jesus said. That reading from Luke's Gospel that we heard read tells us that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He was on his way to death on the cross. But the crowds who were with him thought he was on the way to building a new and powerful empire. And that is why I believe he spoke as he did. In the most vivid way possible, he told them that the person who followed him was not on the way to worldly and power and glory, the person who followed him must be ready for a loyalty which would sacrifice the dearest things in their life, and for a suffering which would be like agony, like the agony of someone on the cross. Now, we know, because we know that Jesus was on his way to that death himself, but to the people who were around him at that point, that must have been the most baffling and shattering thing that he could have said. A great biblical scholar, Dr. Barclay, tells us we mustn't take Jesus' words with the cold, unimaginative literalness. He tells us that the Eastern language is always as vivid as the human mind can make it. When Jesus tells us to hate our nearest and dearest, he doesn't mean that literally. He means that no love in life can compare with the love we must bear for him. So for a few moments this morning, I want us to look at the words of Jesus and see what they meant for his disciples and followers and for us. And the first thing I think that these words of Jesus tell us is that you can be a camp follower. Now, I have to be careful about my words here. Or a true follower. It is possible to follow Jesus without being a disciple. It's possible to follow the troops without actually being a soldier. Hanger on in some great work without pulling one's weight. There was someone talking to a great scholar about a younger man, and he says, so-and-so tells me he is one of your students. And the teacher answered, well, he may have attended my lectures, but he's not one of my students. I sometimes believe we need to ask ourselves, how committed are we as Christians? I'm not talking about coming to church or even being involved heavily in church matters or even how good we are at doing things within the wider church, or how often we pray or read the Bible. I would confess to not being good at many of those things. And all these things make up important elements of our church life. But the most important thing, I believe, is that Jesus is first in our lives. And I have a confession to make. Because as often is the case, the number of times I visit different churches and preach different sermons, I find that the word is first of all being preached to me. If I'm honest, like that student or so-called student, I have attended the lectures, been to church, shared in fellowship. But I've not learned from Jesus. There are times in our lives when being a Christian will involve sacrifice. Barclay may have sought to reassure his readers, but Jesus did challenge his disciples to give up everything. And we must never lose sight of that. We do have to take up our cross and follow. I'm reminded of a hymn which some of the older Methodists among you may remember, but many will not know. Thou sayest, take up thy cross, O man, and follow me. The night is black, the feet are slack, yet we would follow thee. Are we prepared to make that sacrifice? We mustn't expect it to be easy, but nothing is worth having if it is. So are we a true follower or not? But the other message that Jesus gives his followers is this, that you must count the cost. So he tells the story about the tower. Now the likelihood is that the tower, which the man was going to build, was probably a vineyard tower. In those days, vineyards were often equipped with towers to keep the watch against thieves who might steal the harvest. But you need to think about the cost of building that tower. Now, we mustn't misinterpret the words of Jesus. We mustn't use the times of thought which Jesus encourages us to make as reasons for delay. Oh yes, we'll get it done. We need to think about it. It'll happen tomorrow. Yes, we do need to consider the cost of discipleship. And we need to understand that the way is not always smooth. There will be setbacks, and they will involve sacrifice. But what we mustn't do is allow the weight of that difficulty to overwhelm us. Beware of misunderstanding Jesus' second example. He's not calling us to surrender if the odds are overwhelming. But simply, it's an illustration of thinking things through. We must never let the difficulty get on top of us. If we are daunted by the high demands of Christ, we must remember that we are never asked to fill them alone. One final quote from Dr. Barclay. He who called a person to the steep road will walk with them every step of the way and be there at the end to meet them. Jesus is there, waiting for us. But we need to be sure that we understand what it is he's asking us to do. Amen.